Now, a US Court of Appeals ruling in Washington, D.C. is being seen as a pretty big blow to proponents of an open internet. The ruling has been described as even more emphatic and disastrous than anyone expected. The court found that internet service providers have every right to play favourites around price and other areas with their clients. This could mean slowing speeds for a competitor or charging higher fees to allow access to premium speeds. It could, let's say, kill off something like Netflix in a flash by just charging it through the roof. That can't happen at the moment, but it may happen in the future. The Federal Communications Commission has regulations that the court struck down. What does it mean for access to the internet? Does it have implications for us? We're on it too, you know. Stilgherrian can help us understand these concepts. He's a freelance journalist, a commentator, podcaster. He is interested in big picture internet issues. Stilgherrian, welcome. All right, so we had the beginning of the internet. All stuff travels at equal freight. I mean, there is no discrepancy between a certain kind of information flowing on the web. Everything is charged alike.
That's right, and treated alike. So certainly over the years, though, there have been attempts by some internet providers to change that rule. A classic example was when, and this is particularly of interest in the United States because so many internet service providers there are also cable television providers, that one of the providers decided that it would not exactly give priority to the online video content of its competitors, which obviously gives them a bit of an advantage in their market. Now, this idea of net neutrality has been around as an unwritten rule. A few years ago, President Obama decided to give the FCC the task of, well, actually, let's make this the rule. Let's write the regulation. Mm-hmm. That came in 2010 with a thing called the Open Internet Order. There was an attempt by Congress to strike this down because this sort of regulation and forcing things to be treated the same for everyone is, of course, akin to communism in the United States. And certainly there are arguments against it. But either way, the order stayed up then, but this latest decision by the Court of Appeals in D.C. Says, well, FCC, you do certainly have the power to make rules about broadband providers. What you can't do is decide that they're common carriers. Nowhere does it say that.
And yet the FCC has within its ambit the potential to make firmer regulations on these matters. Is that how they might respond to this court ruling?
I think so. Certainly the commentators, or many of the commentators at the time who were in favour of net neutrality, thought, gee, the FCC did not come out with all guns blazing on this one. They had a fairly soft legal argument that was possibly even doomed to failure, some say. Well, we do have, of course, you know, we can have another go, we can escalate it up to the Supreme Court of the United States, and more interestingly, we have a new chairman of the FCC since then, and we don't really know a lot about how he might play this, but certainly, you know, he won't want to be the chairman of the FCC who was seen as destroying the open internet.
And it's an important concept because why, Stilgherrian? I mean, give us an example of how what we might take for granted in terms of service provision or content provision could be changed by different pricing or different access to bandwidth, those sorts of things which might become variable in a less neutral internet.
Well, it's very easy for large established players on the internet to simply price out the newcomers. Let's say that a particular internet service provider decided that, look, YouTube has videos. YouTube's a very big video player. We can guarantee that your video will be streamed online in a nice, efficient and lovely-to-watch manner if you pay us 50% extra. And that means that any newcomer to the video streaming market probably can't afford that and is squeezed out. It means a major news provider can just sort of pay extra to make sure that their stuff is seen promptly, and again, an independent newcomer is squeezed out. Or more interestingly, what would stop someone developing a relationship between an internet service provider and a strategic news partner. So you could imagine that a particular ISP might do a deal with Fox News so that NDC can't even be reached at all. There's no reason, unless you force someone to be a common carrier, there's no reason why they can't pick and choose who you have access to.
And is that common carrier, is that likely to be the way in which the web is going to be perceived by the FCC, by the US administration?
I personally suspect so. But that said, there are very powerful forces who might want to see a more limited internet and a more commodified and, I suppose, appliance-led internet. You can imagine a kind of two-stage internet or a two-tier internet where you have an internet that if you buy certain devices from certain large manufacturers and connect through certain providers, that they will provide a safe experience free of spam and all sorts of news and entertainment providers at the top of the menu, and everyone else gets a second-class internet that might not be as heavily secured. And certainly in the discussions over the last year relating to security and so on the internet, we've actually seen some corporate players say, well, what we really need is a proper secure internet for government and enterprise, and then some free-for-all cheap thing for everyone else to play with.
Oh dear. Well, certainly a thing with a bit to travel, but with very, very broad implication. We're the better for your input, Stilgherrian. Thank you.
My pleasure, Jonathan.
Stilgherrian, a freelance journalist, commentator, podcaster, the man to go to for big-picture internet issues. 6 away from 9, film next.